And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this incredible day of the church here. Amen. Christ is risen. How important is that really to you? We say those words with hopefully some excitement, and it sounds pretty exciting here this morning. But deep within your heart, and I look deep within my heart, how precious are those words really to you? The reality of that confession, and what an early confession within the church. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and by the way, I would encourage everyone today to, in the busyness of all the family traditions, meals, and everything that'll be going on later today, that you can find a quiet moment and just read through the entire chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. An incredible resurrection chapter. But we heard those words read as Gary read them a moment ago. Verses 3 through 4 of this text. Paul writes, God inspired these words, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." Boy, that should get our attention, shouldn't it? "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what else is really necessary for us to know as God's people? This is of first importance to God as he reveals this incredible event to the church then, as the Lord was physically, visibly walking on the face of the earth, and to the church now, as Jesus speaks of us to the doubting Thomas. "Thomas, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe who have not seen me." And here we are. But whether we were those that saw the Lord after he rose from the dead, or whether we're those who through faith see the Lord as we do now, as we gather here this morning, we are one and the same. We are the body of Christ. And God comes to you and me and he announces to us, this is of first importance. This is the real deal. Everything about our faith hinges upon, stands upon these simple statements. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. Well, that's what's first in God's mind. But the question for us this morning is, what is of first importance to you? And I want you to be honest with yourself as I try to be honest with myself. Because in this very busy world in which we live, we can have all kinds of distractions, can't we? We can have all kinds of things or people that would attempt to step in and fill that position in our lives of first importance. What are you most vulnerable to? What likes to try and weasel its way into your heart and take that top position within your life? And whatever that may be, how does it stand up with these words? For instance, if whatever that entity may be in your life, as I think of those that creep into my life, where is that going to be for you if trouble comes? Where is that going to be for you when you're at that point of facing your own death upon this earth? Why do you come to worship this morning? Must have wanted to be here. It's pretty early, right? By the way, it's been suggested to the elders we should have worship just at 6 o'clock every Sunday. What do you think? A few are nodding yes. But seriously, why are you here today? Is it because it's a great tradition? I mean, within Lutheran circles and many other church bodies, yeah, this is a big hoopla day, right? It's sunrise service, and boy, some even go to Red Rocks, and there's some pretty incredible productions of worship services in this nation and throughout the world. But why do we come? Is it a tradition? Is that mainly the reason? Or is it maybe to be entertained? Boy, there's some great singing. We've already heard it this morning. Or maybe it's for the Easter egg hunts or the concerts or the breakfasts that follow. There's all kinds of traditions. Why do you come to worship this morning? What is of first importance in your life? Because it's very easy as sinners that we can just go through the actions, right? Hey, it's Easter sunrise. We always go to that one. We need to be there. Well, it takes on a whole different meaning in the midst of great trouble, in the midst of death. In our town of Windsor, where Lindy and I live this past week, you may have heard the news of a horrifying death. Two deaths. Two construction workers are working in a trench. The trench is about 15 feet deep, and the trench caves in on them. And you can imagine the frantic movements that are being made in order to try and rescue these people. They're right there. 15 feet down, but they're right here. We've got to dig them out, but they can't use equipment because they could crush them. And so they're frantically digging with shovels. They're calling emergency people that are experts in these kinds of things. And there is a huge intensity. And why such an intensity? Because there's a couple people still alive 15 feet down in this trench. And we can't get to them. But if we could save their lives. And I think the most horrifying thing to me was, one was a 40-year-old gentleman, another 20-some years old. And I don't know which one, but one of them could actually communicate and could be heard. And his family was called in immediately. Can you imagine standing at the edge of that trench, caved in, your child is buried there and communicating with you? And at that point, everyone knew that he wasn't going to survive. Now, I want you to think about whatever tries to creep into your life of being of first importance. What will that do for you at that moment? I want parents to think about that with your kids. The busyness of life, and boy, we can be so involved in so many things it can become to a point where, oh yeah, that first important thing, that's kind of on the shelf. Well, God will grab it when we need it. No, I pray that our parents, grandparents, that with these kids that God has entrusted to us, that we would hone into them daily what is of first importance. That they may know Jesus as we are blessed to know Jesus. That they may know the joy of the empty tomb. That they may know the joy that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Yes, that is of first importance. This is the real deal. This is the security of everlasting life. And yet, how often is it just an Easter Sunday event in a lot of families? Well, it's good for us because today is always a reality check for us, really, to bring back that question, what is of first importance in my life? And why is Jesus' resurrection such a big deal anyway? Well, did you hear these words? Christ died for our sins. If we're in that trench, buried, and we're dying, and we don't know Jesus, we're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the bottom line. No ifs, ands, and buts. Apart from Jesus, we are lost and condemned sinners. It's why Jesus came, and it's why Paul, as God inspires this, is so excited to share that of first importance is that Christ died for our sins. He went to that cross. He literally died. And if you don't believe that, by the way, he was buried. Just to add a certainty, because the rumors were running around then, as I'm sure the rumors run around today, oh yeah, but he may have not really died. I'd love to have a Roman centurion standing here. Oh yeah, we'd let people hang on those crosses sometimes, and you know, they'd fool us, and they'd get away once in a while. Not happening. Romans, in what they did, executing by the cross, were masterminds. They were extremely good at what they did. And believe me, there would have been no question if somebody was dead. Christ died for our sins after he said, "It is finished," meaning this plan of salvation is complete. There's nothing left to do. God says, "I offer this to you, the world. I want you to have it. I lay it in your lap." Most of the world says, "Yeah, I don't need that. I don't even want that." God doesn't force it, but he does announce it of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and then the greatest news of all, he rose again. Why is that so significant? Well, Paul tells us, God tells us through Paul, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, meaning it's worthless. You are still in your sins. Everything hinges upon the resurrection. So then it's probably pretty important, isn't it, that we have some sense of certainty that Christ really did rise from the dead. And don't you love it how God has had a plan in place that couldn't be questioned either? You know, if Jesus would have maybe appeared to Mary, as we saw from the gospel reading this morning, and Mary was the only one that saw Jesus alive in the flesh, resurrected, glorified before he ascended into heaven, we might think, you know, Mary may have been a hallucinating. She may have really, she just wanted to see Jesus so bad that in her mind she thought she saw him. But oh, isn't it wonderful? Jesus didn't immediately ascend into heaven. He stayed around for 40 days, and he appeared not only to individuals, but to groups. And Paul gives us testimony of that. He says he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, and then I love it, he appeared to over 500 at the same time. And then Paul, I never really thought about this, I caught it this year, and at the time of Paul's writing, which was many years later when he wrote 1 Corinthians, and he said, most of those are still living. Now, if they had a dispute about really if this was true or not, and Paul is writing about these that were witnesses, I think they would have come forth and said, "Paul, you're nuts. We didn't see that, but there's no disputing." Wow, 500 at one time. Think that'd be a credible testimony in our day? By experience, I know that it is in many cases that we've observed. Appeared to Peter, the 12, over 500, to James, and then, of course, to Paul later on that road to Damascus. That's Paul's testimony. But then we read the Gospels, and there's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He appears to the 12, well, the 11, up in the upper room a couple times, 2 weeks in a row, right? and then sends them off to Galilee. They're by the Sea of Galilee. This is my favorite scene, one of them in Scripture. And they're out there thinking, well, what do we do while we wait? I guess we're fishermen. We'll go fish. And they don't catch anything all night. And then this guy happens to show up on the shoreline and, hey, have you caught any fish? No. Well, throw the nets over on the other side. And Peter knew immediately who it was. And he throws the net, and the net is instantly full of fish. By the way, how many fish? Trivia this morning.
153.
Yes, 153. Somebody wins the prize. 153 fish. And the apostles instantly know, because when Jesus originally called them, he did the very same thing. But here's what I love about this scene. What's Jesus doing on the shoreline? He's frying a fish. He's cooking breakfast for his disciples. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Christ is risen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good that we have this day, because I think it's so easy for this day to fade in importance. But may we have the excitement that we have this morning every day of our lives. May we go out into the world by our attitude, by our approach to life, that others observing our lives, others hearing what we have to speak, others seeing how we approach life, that they may see without doubt within you and me these words that we have before us, that this is what's the real deal in our lives. Everything else is good. Sports, entertainment, careers, those are all wonderful and can be very godly things. But in the mix of all of those things, that it's clear and evident that the real deal is Christ died and was buried and that he rose again. That's the foundation of not only life on this earth, but for eternity. We go back to the trench. Imagine your strong Christian parents, and I don't know anything about the gentleman that passed away, but we're imagining now. And imagine it's your son in that trench. And yes, it's horrifying as Christian parents, but deep within your heart and mind, and all the frantic trying to save him, you know that if he doesn't make it, he's going to be in glory immediately. Remember the criminal on the cross? Jesus, remember me in your kingdom when you come. And what did Jesus say? Today, because he was going to die today you will be with me in paradise. Because God worked through faithful parents who brought their child up in that same faith. Everything else means nothing at that point, right? This is of first importance. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he has accomplished this great work, who loves us so much that he has called us into this incredible faith through baptism, through bringing to us his holy word, this Lord in Christ, the risen Savior who loves you and me so much that he's going to welcome us into glory for eternity one day. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.